Turn with me this morning to Isaiah, the 4th chapter. Sunday before last, I mentioned the baptism by fire. Scripture even talks about it. You'd be surprised how many times in the Bible fire is mentioned. I just don't know how many times. Good concordance, it's got a whole bunch of them. But there's two things. It seems like when it's mentioned, the fire is poured out or brought to. And it has a twofold meaning, the best I can understand it. One is a trial by fire that cleanses people and brings them nearer Christ. And it speaks of as being immersed in that fire. And then the other part of that is that it also tries people and causes them to be in condemnation. And they're baptized under that fire, and it even talks about being placed in the bottomless pit, down below where the fire never dies, never quenched, and being submerged in that kind of fire. But for us, the people of God, the meaning most assuredly is being tried by fire. Lord is a consuming fire. Now, another strange thing about this fire is that it doesn't totally consume, it cleanses. It's kind of a strange thing. When I started kind of studying this a little more, like I said, I didn't know exactly where to go. It was mentioned so many times. And you might research it for yourself sometime. We couldn't nearly cover that this week. Fire is mentioned so many times. Like read here verses 4 through 6, Isaiah the 4th chapter. It said, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the Spirit of judgment. Now this fire is judgment. And by the Spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow. Now this is talking about the people of God. You don't have that tabernacle for a shade. It's sure good. I thought about that this week. That shade has been good. We got out a little yesterday in the sun, and it was pouring down. I mean, if you, there's a shade tree there to step over in it a few minutes and cool off a little. He said, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime, and from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a cover from the storm and from rain. In other words, it'll keep you from all the perils of this life. It'll be a covering, this tabernacle. I believe it also could be this tabernacle. If it be under that shadow. if it have that covering. It'd be covered from all the perils of this life. Even though this body perish, the spirit would be helped and comforted from all those perils. Go with me to Malachi, 3rd chapter. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Not only is he going to refine you, he's going to clean you up, scrub you down, after you have come through fire. He said, and he shall sit as a refiner in a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. You understand that I know a little bit about this with melted lead all those years, and it's similar to that. And we keep skimming off that impurity that's in there. And the longer you heat it, the more you skim it, the purer it becomes. And people will be tried, the people of God will be tried by fire and purified. Be cleansed by this purifying. In this washing and cleaning. He said that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's the only way a man can be righteous, is if the Lord keeps purifying. He keeps refining. Making it pure and pure, and taking away those impurities that he might be righteous. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Familiar scripture, for sure. Starting verse 7. Said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now what these people knew, that there was a consuming fire coming. Why else would they have went out there? They were fearful. And fear is in the heart of every man outside of this refining. He doesn't have anything lean on except his own unrighteousness. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Otherwise, not going to be any baptism here. It's just only going to be the baptism of fire. You understand? This pit going to go down in it. And he said, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Your position is nothing. It's worth nothing. You know, there's world people today that lean on Baptists and Methodists and this and on that. And our father was this and our mother was this. But it doesn't matter if you direct descended in the flesh of Abraham. I don't care how close you are to. And Mary isn't worth anything either. He said, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now this is cleansing fire. When it gets through refining. Said, whose pan is in his hand? And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. These are those that are under condemnation. Be burned up an unquenchable fire. That never ends. You know what? That burning doesn't start in hell either. It starts here. Just like the Christian soul starts here. Their conscience is continually burning and condemning them. And yet, they follow after those uncertain things. Go with me now to Hebrews the 12th chapter. Verse 18 said, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burneth with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore, because it was burning. It set up on them, and it began to burn. And it's just like it will be in the last days, the Bible speaks of, that all these things will come upon mankind, but he'll continue to curse God. And that's what they were doing. They said, don't tell us anymore. These things are setting us on fire. Let us alone. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, if Moses feared and quaked, where do you think this said to other people? That's the reason they didn't want to hear anymore. Our God, though is merciful. He said, but ye are come unto Mount Sinai and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now this is another baptism that we spoke of the other day. That spirit. That baptism of the spirit that cleanses man. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refuse him that spake on the earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And there'll be fire and brimstone rain down. I believe at that shake. And it's going to consume everything that's not of the Spirit of God. In this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is consuming fire. Everything that's not of God will receive the baptism of fire and be cast into that pit. You understand it'll be submerged forever and forever, never to come up again, never to rise up again. The devil and all his angels. But you know what's different about this? Two, they'd not be consumed. They'd be like that bush. Wouldn't burn up. Just keeps on burning. Go with me to 1 Peter. Said unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. This is some more trying. And cleansing and perfecting. That trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Would be tried by fire. Our God is a consuming fire. That's good stuff. Do you understand if the Lord leave you alone? If he doesn't bring this fire, if he doesn't do this cleansing, this purifying, this refining, then we'd all perish under that fire. But God is merciful. He has saved himself a people. He's furnished a tabernacle that might keep the elements off of him. He can rest there in the coolness of the day under the tabernacle. Oh, we have that tabernacle that we might enter into it and find peace and rest.
Nebuchadnezzar was so mad that the three Hebrew children, that he had that furnace heated how many times hotter? 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. Now, when it was normally heated, man didn't last very long if they threw him in there, did he? But he has had it heated 7 times, so hot, in fact, that those men that took those three Hebrew children up there and threw them in the fire, they perished themselves, according to the Word of God. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace, what did he see? He said, we threw 3 men in there, but he said, I see 4. And they were doing what? They were walking around in the midst of the fire. And when they got them out of there, then what? Was the hair all singed off? No. There wasn't a hair singed, and there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Now, if it had just been some ordinary men thrown in that furnace, what would happen? And see, I caught you, didn't I? Yeah, but... Well, what made the difference? Were they superhuman? No. They were just ordinary people. But they had Christ, the Son of the living God, walking in that furnace with them, JT, that tabernacle, that covert from the wind and the rain, from the storm. And you know what? If it were not that we have that cover, that covering, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit, every day we would be consumed by the fires of this world and this life. But thank God we have that covering, that tabernacle, and it shades us. And someday, all of this furnace is going to be gone away. And that day, even the heat of the sun, the writer of Revelation tells us, will not light upon our back. JT is talking about that sun and shade a while ago. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you can stand in the shade, and it may be warm, but I tell you one thing, you step out in that direct sunlight, and it's like stepping, kind of like stepping at least into a furnace, isn't it? Whenever it's beaming down at 100, 103, 104, 105 degrees of heat, it is plenty, plenty hot. Thank God for Jesus. Who is a pillar of a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night.